Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." It's good to be here this morning, and we're thankful for the opportunity, and I'd like to welcome you once again to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located in Vilas, North Carolina, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We'd love to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. If you do not have a church home, or if you are in the Boone area visiting, we have visitors all throughout the summer months, and we appreciate each and every family that comes to be with us throughout the year. And so if you'd like to have more information about that, we're going to give you the phone number and the website address and all of these things at the end of the radio broadcast. But it is good to be here today, and I'd like to say good morning to my son. He's the producer, and he's in here today. And good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. I want to say welcome to our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia. We really appreciate our listeners here.
We do appreciate our listeners, and it's good to hear from them when we are out in the community or go to different churches, and people will say they hear us on the radio broadcast. And so that's always a blessing and an encouragement to us. And here it is, the summer month and months, and school is out, and a lot of people are on vacation and they're out of their regular routine. And so we're going to do that as well. We're going to do a little something out of our regular routine here on the Blessings of Liberty. And what I want to begin to do today is to begin to share with you something that I've been studying about in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And this is one of the most interesting I don't want to say things, but one of the most interesting studies that I have gotten into lately. And that's what is becoming known as the Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 prophecy. And so we're going to take a few weeks during the summer, and we're going to deal with Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 and how that relates to America. Could there be in the Bible an ancient prophecy that not only speaks to and talks about Israel, but also could be a sign to America? And so Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, if you're not familiar with it, I hope you will get familiar with it. But the Bible says, I'll just go ahead and read the verse over there and sort of tell you how this applies to 9/11. And of course, we're talking about September the 11th, 2001, when the terrorist attack upon America and the Twin Towers falling down, and also the attack upon the Pentagon, the other flight as well, that went down in the abandoned strip mine in Pennsylvania. But anyway, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. It says, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And there's more to it than that, and we're going to read that in just a little bit. But I'm going to tell you how I came across this. I was in the bookstore several weeks ago now, maybe even coming up on a couple of months, and I was in there looking for a certain book, and they didn't have the book that I was looking for, but I got to looking around, and there was a book there that they had on sale, and the name of it is The Harbinger. And I began to look at the book, picked it up, and talked to the lady there about it. She said that they were flying off the bookshelves, that people were coming in to get this book. It's one of the best-selling Christian books, maybe even number one. I'm not exactly sure concerning that, but there's a lot of people knows what I'm talking about when I talk about the book The Harbinger. The author is a man named Jonathan Cahn. Jonathan Cahn is a Jewish Christian, saved Jew. I don't know exactly how he would describe himself as that, but just the little piece on the back of the book says Jonathan Kahn leads Hope of the World Ministries and the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel, a worship center made up of Jew and Gentile people of all backgrounds. It's located in Wayne, New Jersey. And so this is a modern author. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe you haven't, but most of the time what I read, I read after a lot of books of people that are deceased, and I've made a little joke about that. You know that I read after dead people because they don't change, and so I really do not read a lot of modern authors. I like the old books and the old writers, and I read a lot of history books and the Bible, of course, and commentaries upon the Bible, but mainly just the Bible and hit authors who have passed away. And but I picked up this book, and it is very, very interesting. The Harbinger is a fictional book, but the teaching, it takes a fictional story and gives this teaching. The whole purpose is to teach the truths concerning Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And so we're going to begin to look at that today, and I make no bones about it. I'm not trying to steal somebody else's glory in teaching the truths that I found in this book as well as other places, but I will give credit where credit is due. And this book got me looking into what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 9. Now, in order to really get into it, we're going to just give sort of an introduction today and talk about ancient Israel and the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah is the first of the prophets to Judah. Now, those of you that know your Bible history, you will know that in Israel, in ancient Israel, there was a division. There was King David, King Solomon, and then his son Rehoboam. Well, Rehoboam was a young smart aleck, and he thought that he knew everything under the sun, and he caused there to be a division in Israel, and the 10 northern tribes broke away from the 2 southern tribes. And that's why sometimes you hear Israel referred to as Israel or Judah. And actually, there was a division in the kingdom, and there was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and Israel is the northern kingdom. They fell first. When we talk about the fall of ancient Israel, the northern kingdoms were carried away into captivity first. They are more famous for the wicked kings that ruled over them. The first king to rule over northern Israel was Jeroboam, and of course he caused Israel to sin. He set up idolatry that was the example that they had, and they fell into idolatry and immorality and all these wicked things. So there's the northern kingdom, then there's Judah, the southern kingdom, and Isaiah is the first prophet that God sent to the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah had better kings, more godly kings, and they lasted about 65, somewhere around in their years, longer than the northern kingdom did before they were carried away in the Babylonian captivity. Now, Isaiah was sent by God to warn Judah to come back to the Lord. Now, in the Bible, when prophets appear upon the scene, they do not come except to warn the nation. They never come. God never sends a prophet to pat the nation on the back and say, "You're doing a fine job, keep it up." When you see a prophet come upon the scene, God sends a prophet to warn the people, to correct the people, to give the message of the Lord to the people that they need to repent and turn back to God. And so prophets come upon the scene to warn the nation, to rebuke, to correct, and to get the nation turned back to God. Now, I'm going to read in Isaiah chapter number 1 in verses 1 and 2, and I believe we can say that this would apply to America as well. But here, Isaiah to the nation of Judah, he comes upon the scene, and the Bible says the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So these are the kings under which Isaiah prophesied, and his ministry lasted over 60 years. But in verse number 2, Isaiah said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." And that's the tone that we find beginning in the book of Isaiah. He said, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." God is talking about how the nation of Israel and Judah had rebelled against him. And I believe we could say that that would apply to America as well. Now, I want to say to begin with, and be very clear on this, that Israel is not America, and America is not Israel. Although there are many, many parallels, and there are many things we could say, you know, that one is like the other, but the fact is they are two individual nations. And the Bible has a great deal to say about nations, but God is no respecter of persons concerning the nations. And what I mean by that is, for example, in Genesis chapter number 12, God made a covenant with Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. And part of that says in verse number 2, Genesis chapter 12, and verse number 2, the Lord told Abraham, he said, "And I will make of thee a great nation." And so Abraham did not have any children at the time. This would seem almost impossible. This old man, he's never had any children, but God comes along and says, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you." And of course, we know what happened in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah, they had a child and named him Isaac, and from Isaac and Israel and all the 12 tribes and the Jewish race. So God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. He said, "I'll make of thee a great nation." Verse number 3, the Bible said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Now, every nation has the same opportunity to choose a side. Either they're going to choose the side of blessing and be a friend and a blessing to the Jewish nation, or they will be a enemy unto them, and God says, "I will curse them." And whatever a nation does in regard to the nation of Israel, God will either bless or curse accordingly. God said to Abraham, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." So that applies to any nation that will take up the offer from the Lord in how they treat the nation of Israel. God will either bless or curse accordingly. And so you see what I'm saying. God is no respecter of persons concerning the nations of the world. God will treat each nation on an individual basis according to how they treat the children of Israel. That is a universal promise that still applies today. We could go other places in the Bible. We could go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. I've used that many times before here on the Blessings of Liberty. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 34, it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, that is a universal principle. Any nation that will take up the cause of righteousness and put it before their people and say, "This is how we ought to live," God will exalt that nation. And any nation that takes up the ways of sin and follows after sinful, wicked ways, that is a reproach to that nation. And it doesn't matter which nation it is. It doesn't matter if it's India or China or America or Canada or Great Britain, or it doesn't matter which nation it is. It's just a universal fact. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So God is no respecter of persons concerning the nations. It's dependent upon how they act. Another verse we could go to, Psalms 33 and verse number 12. The Bible says over there, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." If a nation, any nation, chooses God as their Lord, God will bless that nation. Any nation that does not choose to have God as its Lord, he will not bless that nation. Now, having said all that, if there's ever been such a thing as a Christian nation, America could come under that heading of being founded as a Christian nation. America is different from all the nations upon the face of the earth. We're different in every aspect. America is more like the nation of Israel than any other nation upon the face of the earth. America is unique among all the nations concerning our discovery. It is very interesting that the West remained largely undiscovered for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And then from the founding of America, from the coming to America by the Pilgrim Fathers, we see a great Christian beacon light spring up in the West. That's very interesting that we find the discovery of America at the late date in history that we do, but that's a fact of life. America is unique in our founders, the people that came to America, the pilgrims when they came. They didn't come seeking gold, they came seeking God. On the Mayflower, before they got out, off the Mayflower, they made the Mayflower Compact, which says, in ye name of God, for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel among the heathen. Our nation is different than any other nation in the world concerning our laws. I've went through this before on the Blessings of Liberty, how that our laws in America are based upon the laws that we find in the Bible. Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter number 20, the Ten Commandments. We still see in America monuments to the Ten Commandments all across the United States of America. Our nation is different than all the other nations in the world. Our nation is different in our people. We talk about America as being a great melting pot, and there are people that have come here from all over the world. But we don't generally refer to ourselves as, well, I'm Scottish, Irish, wherever people are from. We refer to ourselves as Americans. And we have many things in common that other nations do not have. The religion of America, when our nation was set up, is distinctly Christian and from the Bible. So we're different from all the other nations in the world. We took time here on the Blessings of Liberty. I think it took us the better part of a year. Some of you will remember we went through the 5,000-year leap. And in that book, The 5,000-Year Leap by Cleon Skousen, there are 28 founding principles. And we went through the 28 founding principles one by one and applied a test. And the test that we applied to that, I said, if America is truly a Christian nation, then our founding principles would prove it. And we took and went through every one of those 28 founding principles, and sure enough, we found that there was a scriptural principle involved with whatever it was. There's many of them. I'm not going to go back through them. There was a scriptural principle. There was a historical example where we could go back in the Bible, and then we gave a modern day application, and I did that for 28 weeks, actually a little bit more than that. But here's what I'm getting at today, just to make one distinct point today. For almost 400 years, now the pilgrims came in 1628. Since that time, our forefathers, our founders, our framers, our presidents, and our people unanimously with one voice have said, God bless America. And we have expected to be blessed because it was a known fact that Americans, or I'm not saying everybody, but in general, the general consensus was, God bless America. We honor the Bible. We pledge allegiance. We put the Ten Commandments in our halls of justice. And so we've expected to have the blessing of God. So when we've said, God bless America, we have expected him to bless us because we knew in our heart of hearts that we were founded as a Christian nation. And for 400 plus years, we have enjoyed the blessings of God. God has blessed our nation on and on and on. I mean, on every hand. I grew up during what they call the Cold War with Russia, and there's this tension back and forth and back and forth. And I grew up, and what do we know about in America? You know, there used to be a commercial, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, and thinking about all the good times and blessings and abundance on every hand, and jobs and opportunity, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at that same time, you have the nation of Russia, and they are an atheistic nation. They have said, we do not have or recognize God. We don't believe in God. And what do I hear about growing up in Russia? How terrible it is. Bread lines, poverty, no freedom, no opportunity. See the difference between the two nations there. So in America, we say, God bless America, and we expect it and we enjoy it. But let me say today that when we turn our back upon our blesser, then we can expect the opposite of God bless America. And that's where the book of Isaiah, where we are like the children of Israel during that time, because God sent Isaiah to warn the children of Israel to turn back to God. They had come to a place of great prosperity, and God had blessed them on every hand, but they had turned their back upon the Lord. And so Isaiah comes along and he brings attention to this. And so in chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Verse 3, the Bible said, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." He said, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." Now, I don't have time to go through all those things, but I say today that America is in the same shape as ancient Israel was. We have become a sinful nation. We're a people laden with iniquity, children that are corruptors. We've forsaken the Lord. We provoke the Holy One of Israel unto anger. We have gone away backward. And so we're in a bad shape in America because we've turned our back upon the God that's blessed us and brought us to the place that we are today. Another example, chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible said, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff," that is the bread and the blessings. God said, "I'm going to take them away, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water." He said, "The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator." And what he's saying there in verses 2 and 3, he's saying, "I'm going to take the mighty men, the great men." We have a great dearth of a lack of leadership in this country. Leadership in this country is, I would say, at an all-time low. Do you know that is a sign of the judgment of God? Do you know that the approval rating for Congress is at an all-time low? Do you know what we have to choose as far as leadership goes in this country? Surely in America we could find somebody with some leadership quality and capability, but we don't. We do not have that in America. Our great generals, where are they at? our great inventors and leaders, and on we could go. He said in verse 4, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed." And I could talk right there a long time today about in America today, there's much oppression and loss of liberty. That's one thing we talk about on this radio broadcast. The people shall be oppressed. That is a sign of the judgment of God when we begin to lose our freedoms and our liberties that we have. He said, "The people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." We find a loss of honor among our young people towards our elder people. That also is a sign of the judgment of God. Many other examples we could give here. I'm just about to run out of time today, and I'll read a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." What they had done, they had become so profitable, they had become so prosperous, that they were building homes and second homes and just living and enjoying all the riches and all the blessings. But the Bible said in verse 9, "In mine ears said the Lord of hosts." Now God told Isaiah this. He said, "Of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." Do you know how many homes are setting empty today in America because of the crash of 2007, 2008, and the recession, depression, whatever you want to call it? Do you know what God does to the nation that turns its back upon the Lord? God allows them to go from a place of prosperity to a place of poverty. And so God sent Isaiah to warn Israel, and the warning was not just verbal, but there were physical things that they could begin to see. And so we need to ask ourselves in America today, is what we are seeing happening in America a result of our turning our backs against the Holy One of Israel? And I believe it is. And we're going to take some time in the weeks ahead to point out how that 9/11, what happened on 9/11, should be a wake-up call to America that we need to turn back to God. I'll read that verse one more time and we'll go off the air for today. But read and study this yourself. The Bible said, "The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." I'm not even going to get to the part I wanted to get to today, but we need to pray for our nation. We need to be sensitive to what God is doing in our midst. We're going to give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you, and we hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.